I will now call the meeting to order of the Tax Relief for Pollution Control Property Advisory Committee. And I will first recognize the committee members that are present and absent. If I can look down my list of the ones that are absent, there have a, well, first of all, who has called in? Does anybody on the members have called in? Charles and Greg said they might call in. No? Well, I'm showing we at least have a quorum. So, okay, there's no one else on the phone. Then I'm showing that Greg Maxim is absent. Mike Nassy. Lloyd Graham.
Good morning. This is Charles Allred.
Hey, Charles. I was just about to count you absent. Good. Glad you're here. So, and Cyrus, I think that's it. We now have eight members, counting Charles. So we have enough to always conduct business. So in general, and thanks for those of you in the audience, although it's small, thanks for being here. Our general policy is we welcome your comments. And at the right time, just let us know, and we'll try to work you in. And I will start. Before we start, generally, I want to any comments from the committee before we get started. All right, and I'll jump into item number two, election of 2017 chairman. And as I said in an email to all of you, I'm available to serve again. However, I'm not running for office. So, if someone else wants to step up, I would hope they would let us know before now so we could be thinking about someone else, but I'll open it up for any comments.
Bob, do you not want to do it?
No, I will be glad to do it. What I don't want to do is try to guard this spot. So I'll be glad to continue.
unless I'm precluding any discussion, I'm not trying to preclude anyone else from running, but I'll make a motion for Bob to be elected chair.
Second.
All right. We have a motion from Don Lee and a second from Mike Ford to reelect Bobby Deere for our chairman.
Truly.
Yeah. So I will open it up for a discussion. Any other comments?
I'll just say I appreciate your commitment to it and you being willing to do it and the good job that you've done. Why change a good thing?
Thanks, Don. By the way, those of you on the phone, if you'd please mute, don't put us on hold, but mute your phone. If you put us on hold, we might hear your music and we don't hear that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have a motion and a second to reelect.
Mike Nassy.
Okay, I'll wait a minute. Is he on the phone or something?
I think he actually went to the room next door.
Well, we have a... I think we can vote. But, and Greg Maxim, did he happen to send a note in?
He told me Friday that he was doing a conference call, or calling in on the conference number.
Okay. All right. We'll go ahead and vote to continue. All right, Mike is here. Which is just had a motion and a second, Mike, to reelect me as chairman. So we're about to take a vote. And unless you have other nominations, I'll give you that option too.
No, I don't.
All right, we'll take a vote then. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed.
Aye.
All right. Thank you for your confidence. And as I've stated before. Of course, I do represent industry, and but on the other hand, I'm pretty committed to having open comments from everybody on the committee. So we'll continue that. Item number three, status of the pending advisory committee members. Those of you that may not know that Rob Castor resigned, he took another job, so he I know nobody on the committee knows, but for the public's purpose, he took another job and resigned effective October 1st, I believe. So TCEQ has opened up nominations. Does anybody want to explain that in more detail?
Good morning. This is Shelley Nike with TCEQ. We posted that the application form for the open position that went into the Texas Register on November 18th. So we'll take applications through December 19th. Thus far, we've received two applications. So if you know of anyone who'd like to apply, the application form's available on our website, or we can send it to you directly if you need it.
And the timeline, I think you plan to have it in February for the commissioners.
Right. Our plan right now is to go to agenda in February to put that forward to our commission.
Okay.
December 19th is the deadline.
And just to clarify, this is only for an industry position because an industry position resigned.
Right.
Okay. Thanks, Shelley. All right, we'll move on to any other discussion on item number 3. We'll move on to item number 4. And I thought this might take a little more time, and if I could give a little bit of background before you answer.
Okay.
The reason I put this on an agenda, I had several people express some concerns about the core data form. For example, if they checked the wrong box, would that kick them out? Would it add to the additional time to the Prop 2 process? There are other concerns along those lines. So if you'll just, we do appreciate you sending us an update too.
Good morning, it's Ron Hatlett with the TCEQ. I gave you two handouts, and we're going to put them online after this meeting that explain why we had to go with the core data form. And the first one, and then the second one, explains you the minimum information that you need to provide on the core data form. We've been requiring a CN and an RN for the last 2 years, so it's not going to slow the process down. If you needed a core data form to get the RN and CN, you already had to do it. And you would have gotten an admin notice of deficiency telling you that you needed to fill out the form and file it. So there won't be any change there. This, if anything, might speed it up because we're telling you up front, you can't even file the application without having the form. So I don't think it'll hurt anybody. And the minimum amount of information we need is all usually very available to even the consultant who's filling it out. It's not, yes, sir?
What's an RN?
Oh, regulated entity number. To do business with this agency, you have to have a regulated entity number and a customer number, which is basically a company name and facility names. And that's so that we can track everything from the payment to the permit to any activity you do with us.
So you have a number for the corporate entity and a number for facilities? Is that
for the facility? In some cases, at a large facility like Dallas facility, there'll be RNs basically for each block within that facility, each process unit within the facility.
Okay.
Okay.
And I realize this is much broader than Prop 2.
Yes.
So, yes.
And it's the whole idea, as you remember back to consolidation, 1992, 91, that the driving force was there were multiple environmental agencies for the state of Texas, and if I came in as a business and I wanted to start, I had to come to the Air Control Board to talk air. I had to come to the water to talk water. I might have to go to the health department to talk waste. And I needed multiple permits dealing with multiple people, and they decided to be more efficient if they were all in one spot. Well, then they realized if they're all in one spot, we need to be able to track them some way. So if you want to know what you as Exxon have, you need an identifier that said, well, this is Exxon. And then below that, you need an identifier that said, well, this is this facility within Exxon. So you've got an RN, which is your facility, and then your company name. They were developing this big multi-program database. You know, it was one-stop permitting that they called it. The TRAX database, I don't know if any of you remember that. But the idea was it would all go in one place. If you wanted to file a permit with this agency for any kind of environmental anything, there was one giant application form. You filled out the portions you needed. It came to the agency. They would assign it to a team. They'd do it all at once, and you get your permit. It'd speed everything up. It hasn't really worked, but that was the idea. This program, when we came about in 94, I believe it was, 95, we resisted that because we deal with a number of entities that are not regulated by this organization. A lot of stuff with the oil, with the Railroad Commission for Oil and Gas. We deal with a lot of storage tank stuff, which at that time they had a registration for their tanks, but they weren't required to have an RN or CN, so we resisted the whole idea of getting into the central registry. We resisted it since then until this new database that we're about to roll out, which is going to eventually become an electronic data entry database where you, the applicant, can enter the information yourself. And the only way for us to do that is to have the core data information because it's all going to be in one giant agency database. And the benefit to the applicant is going to be once we roll this out, you can bring up an RN and a CN, and you can see every application that's been filed to us, at least by application number to start with. Eventually, we're hoping to tie it into, you know, right now if you go on and you call up a permit, in some cases, you can open the permit and look at the permit right there from Central Registry. We want to be able to do the same thing with an application form and with a positive use determination, where you no longer have to contact us and ask us for a copy of anything. All you have to do is plug in your RN, select the right application number, and click on it, and you have these options to view or print the documents.
And will I be able to go in and, like, say, let me see all the applications for Jefferson County?
Yes, you can search by, well, it'll be a little difficult because if you search by Jefferson County on an RN, you're going to get every regulated entity in Jefferson County. And I don't believe that you can search just for use determinations right now.
Will not be able to search just for use determinations.
I don't believe so yet. I'm not really 100% sure. We haven't really used Central Registry ourselves that much.
So I'm hearing that you would include dry cleaners in every small company that might have something to do with TCEQ.
Yeah, and at the time that this program started, they told us there were 29, 30,000 dry cleaners in the state that would have to be regulated and would have equipment that we'd see applied for, and every gas station in the state would apply for. But there were a number of things, drilling rigs and sites that, what do we do, underground injection wells of one type, and the Railroad Commission does everything else. So there were a lot of things that we see that aren't regulated, weren't regulated by us, that now this agency is going to do some sort of regulation with almost everything. So you're probably going to have an RN and CN.
Ron?
Yes, sir.
Would it make sense for this committee to suggest that there be a search vehicle for searching for positive use determinations?
Or anything related to this program and keep everything else out?
You know, just a specific search parameter on whenever they develop it for the, you know, public use, that be something that could be searched for specifically?
Yes. We would ask them to provide that.
Based on your knowledge,
program used by the whole agency, so us making changes to it, being probably the smallest program within the agency, becomes a little more difficult than if we were federal operating permits in the air program who said we need this and they would have it the next day because it impacts such a large portion of the agency. But we can ask. And on the public's webpage, there is a search by permit registration that I believe you can only type in the application number. And on that one, you type in the number if you need the application number and get the same information. I just don't know if there's a way to do it the way you've suggested with county and then within the county. I mean, right now, you contact me and you get the spreadsheet that shows everything that's been done in the county. But we're trying to get away from having to track that separately within a spreadsheet to provide the information.
And that's a good thing, but I think, but if what I'm hearing is if we want to do the same thing, we're going to get all sorts of noise coming back with what we're looking for. We're going to get air permits and water permits and
Sure. So as part of this, we set up a program interest area. It says it's called tax relief. And I think if you use that as an identifier, it should filter out all that other stuff. So if you were to do that. So they set it up about 6 months ago. So anything done recently, and I guess it'll be our database from the last 3 years is what will migrate. So it won't go all the way back in time.
Right.
It'll just be for 3 years past and then anything going forward.
And so we'll have the ability, there'll be the ability to go in and see all the applications for use determinations, any positive use determinations, any negative use determinations, et cetera, where they are in the process, are they being appealed, stuff like that. We'll have access to all that information out of that database.
At this time, no. I think it would just give you, here are the application numbers, and then you'd have to contact us. But eventually, if that's a functionality we'd like to add, we would work with Central Registry to add that. At this time, no. It would just give you, so the Central Registry is what will give us the application
numbers. I'll have further offline conversations with you about it. No reason to take up everyone's time on this, but.
Yeah, it'll be added functionality, and we could add as you guys want to suggest, or we just haven't gotten to that point yet.
Hey, Ron,
I've got a question.
So I don't know if I'm getting ahead or not, but as it stands today, if a plant or an area is sold, I realize the customer number would probably change for future applications, but would the regulatory entity number stay the same for the new company? In other words, if you bought a unit within a company, that customer number would change for future filings. Is that regulatory entity number, would that stay the same, or is that going to change then?
My understanding is the RN stays with the facility or the unit.
Okay.
It's just the customer number, and you can actually, if you type an RN into the search engine now, and it'll show you every CN it's ever been associated with, and it will tell you whether it's an active association or not, so that you can go back and track an air permit that was issued in 1980 all the way up until today and show who it was originally issued to and the name changes and everything, so you can follow it through.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Ron, there may be some, and by the way, let the record show that Lloyd Graham appeared about, 10 minutes ago, something like that, about
mysteriously.
10. Yeah, right. Thank you. I guess it was not the best choice of words there. But anyway, we might have some good ideas, but of course there's sometimes a cost associated with tweaking, reprogramming. Do you have any idea? I'm not trying to look for an exact dollar, but is it significant to do these tweaks, or do you know?
I have no idea. I can say that if you look at the first handout, we came to you in 2013 to talk about the electronic entry,
mm-hmm.
and it's almost 2017. We had our first meeting scoping what we need to do that 2 weeks ago. So, once again, being a small program, it's very difficult to shake to the top of anybody's priority list to get something done, because if we break our program, it's small enough we can do things by hand. But you break a water permitting program or an air program, you shut down a large portion of the agency until you fix it. So it's hard for us to get to the top of that. But they just came out with a new version of Central Registry back, I believe, in May, and it took them 2 or 3 years to do that. So it might take some time to get it done. But as we design the electronic form application database that we're working on, it might be possible that we can build some search engines into that, which when you go in to do your application, that you can pull up everything you've ever done before or see other things that have similar properties. I mean, once the information's in the database, it's a matter of getting somebody to do that interface to pull it back out.
I have another question, if I could. Sir? So the regulatory entity number, has all those decisions, I realize this is, as Bob pointed out previously, this is more than Prop 2, right, the CN
right.
number, the RN number. But so those the RN numbers, have those decisions are already been made because of other applications that are out there, or is that going to be done when you file this form the first time? But if the form has not been filed, will there already be an RN number
No.
for maybe some other? Okay.
No, if the form has not been filed, if that facility unit does not have an RN number, then you'll need to file a complete core data form with us, and we'll create the RN and the CN at the same time if it needs a customer number.
If this is too, this may be, I'm sure it's a case-by-case basis, obviously, but you mentioned that a large site might have multiple RN numbers. Mm-hmm. Is that, how do you make that decision?
I believe we'll leave that up to the entity.
To the, if they want to do it that way?
Yes.
Okay.
Ron, if I might, you know, I think my earlier comment about making suggestion may have been premature in that y'all aren't ready to get to the point for making a user interface for the public yet. But when we get closer to that, this committee, I'm sure, would like to, you know, make some input to that, some ideas for that interface. So if you would, when you get around to that kind of thing, let us know, and we'll see what ideas we can come up that might be a benefit.
Okay, we'll do that. We came to you with the electronic form. We would have come to you again with what we're rolling out now. But what we're rolling out now is just an update to what we already had. What's being added is the core data information. If you look at the new application form, which I don't know if any of you have seen it, if it's core data, it's not on our form. So our application form no longer has a company name or address, a facility name or address. All that information is core data, and that's why we have to have a core data form, is so we have that information and we have something to send to the appraisal district, rather than an application that has a contact and the information on the piece of equipment.
Ron, Roland Beamer.
Yes, sir.
Everything that takes place on an application, any of your actions, is that going to be updated into the file?
I don't know. I mean, right now it's updated in our database. If it gets updated and can be accessed through Center Registry, I don't know. I don't believe that you can currently with a permit. But if you're dealing with an air permit, there's a system that you can log into that will allow you to see all that information.
Okay.
It's a matter of us getting tied into that. And as Shelley said, we just got our name even in the system for the first time just a few months ago.
Okay.
Would you recommend companies? Obviously, some big companies probably have applications on an annual basis. Some other companies may not. Would you guys recommend that they complete this form proactively, or would it be more prudent that they complete it the first time they file an application for the Prop 2?
Well, most large companies are already going to have a core data form. And what we actually recommend, and that's the second handout, is if you have one and there's no changes, just send us a copy of it. You don't have to complete a new form. We need a copy. We need something that has the information that we don't have, so we can verify that it's the same that's in Central Registry.
Okay, Ron, so if you have an existing core data form record and you're coming in for with a Prop 2 application, what's frequently the case for an existing RN is that some subset of the information on the core data changes. And so on a previous, say, water permit action, you submit a core data form with that one change in the core data information. So go forward to the Prop 2 application. There's no change in the information. As I understand it, requesting that the most recent core data form be submitted. Would it be that?
Yes.
Core data with just the updated information
that agrees
from
with
the water
whatever
permit
information
application.
Is in the system currently.
Okay.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I don't have the new application in front of me. Is the RN and the CNR still on the application for Prop 2?
No.
No.
No, if you open our new application, the first question is the taxability questions. You know,
okay.
Is it owned and used by you? Is it used for pollution control? And in the next section, I think we ask you for your appraisal district account number, but we can't ask you for the appraisal district name because it's a county name and it's already in the database.
So
and then it
be
goes right into details from there, property descriptions and that.
So
if you know our application, ignore the first two sections in the old application. because that's all central registry information.
So you would just need the most recent core data submittal?
Yes. And if there's a change that you really need to make, then fill out the form and check that box that says there's a change, and we can process the change through. If you change a facility name and it's not just a name related to your tax relief application, we will have to form a committee and meet with everybody who's ever issued a permit and see if they agree with the change. So we're not going to discourage you from doing that, but if you don't have a change that really needs to be made, you probably shouldn't do it on our form. You should wait till you have a permit or a permit amendment that you need to do that. The contact information on the core data form you send to us isn't the contact information that we're going to deal with. We still ask for contact information on our application. So if you put that same information on a core data form, we're not going to go in the system and say this is a new contact for all your permitting. We'll put it in the system as just a contact for us. So we're not here to try and get people to make changes to their information in Central Registry. We're just here to try and get you to provide us the same information you have out there so we can verify that we're talking about the same company.
Ron, I'm probably asking a similar question. But I noticed in the instructions, right at the beginning, it says, when do I complete this form? And there are three bullets. One is your core information is not yet in or incomplete in the central registry. Two, your current information has changed and is not being displayed in the CR. And third is it is requested by the agency. So what I'm hearing from people is that third one seems to be a catch-all, and we're trying to get some comfort. Maybe people are skeptical a little bit, maybe unfounded, but when will the agency request this form? I think that's
You have to do one of the three to file an application with us. You either have to file a new form if you don't have an RNC in. You can file a copy of the form if you have an existing one or no changes. If you can't find a copy, then you have to fill out the form with the same information that's out there and send it to us. The information we're requesting on the form is all in Central Registry. If you know your company name, you can go in and search by name and pull up the customer stuff and pull the information there, or the regulated entity and pull that information. We're not asking for the more deeper look at it, you know, your tax filing numbers and all of that. We want your address, and we've told people repeatedly we need the address so we know where you're at, and the appraisal district does, so we don't actually need Latin long driving instructions that a permitter's going to want, because you're permitting a facility that's just a bare piece of ground. They need to know how to get in their car and drive to it and see what it looks like. We don't need that information. We want your street address. So, and if you follow the directions of what we see, I identify every box, but quite a few of them say, don't provide anything. Leave it blank, because we don't need that information for what we're doing.
And I'm not by any way implying people should be lazy in completing this, but on the other hand, it seems the safest way, for lack of a better term, is to, if you know there have been no changes, is to just simply copy your current form and submit that.
Right, and if you file 50 applications with us, make that copy 50 times and send it to us, because we have to attach it to the application so that when we send it to our appraisal district, they know what company we're talking about. When we go to the data entry where you put it in yourself, we get a complete application, all the electronic information, we're going to transfer to the appraisal district through an email right then.
Are you concerned, we're hearing this, but are you concerned the general public that there's going to be some confusion possibly through this process? Or what kind of feedback are you getting already?
We've been doing this since October, and I've gotten maybe a dozen phone calls. Okay. It's this time of the year. Mm-hmm. I get that many anyway, asking any question if we'd make any change to the form. But we've gotten at least 15, if not 20 applications in since we made the change, and I really haven't had any complaint from anybody who's filed an application. And it's a mixture. I've gotten copies. I've gotten originals. The biggest question I get is who signs the form? Because the core data form, there are specific standards on who has to sign that form, usually the business manager or business owner. someone like that, but we don't care. Our standards say anybody who wants to sign our application signs it. You're the one who's liable if there's something wrong with it. So most of our forms are signed by the consultant, and we don't have a problem with that. Central Registry doesn't have a problem with that because our form's not making any changes to their information. If you're making a change, then we're going to probably send it back to you if you signed it. If you're a tax consultant, we're going to send it back to you and say, you know, somebody from the company needs to agree that you're changing their name, sure, or that you decided they're not listed, they're not really at 110 Main Street, they're at 112. Something like that, we're going to require the company to provide the information.
Fair enough. Any other questions? Mike, I'm looking at you too. Mike, Nancy. I don't know if you've... Okay. In particular, the industry guys, not that I value their opinions higher, but we tend to use it. So any experiences you guys have had you want to express concern about? Anybody from the audience?
Okay. The one concern I've had with it isn't really the industry guys. It's the appraisal districts and the tax guys like Wayne. We don't have enough information in our application to tell you who it was filed by unless the core data form's attached to it. And so far, I mean, what I've been doing is stapling it right on the front of the application with the application number on it. But I'm concerned that it might get to the appraisal district, and the appraisal district might say, well, I don't need this. I just need the application, and separate that off, and then whoever actually works on it won't know who the company is. But I'm not really sure how to handle that till it actually happens and somebody calls and tells me. And then even then, I guess we can just tell them. But that's the only issue I really see with the form.
Roland, since you used to be a chief appraiser, any concerns with this? Any? Can't think of any?
It'd be nice if the information was there.
Yeah. Well, the letters will have the information on it. It's just... I've gotten calls in the past where the use determination has been separated from the application form, and I've been asked how to match it back up. There's the application number on both, but I've been asked that. It just becomes a little more difficult if you don't have even the RN or CN on the one form. All you have is that handwritten application number.
Yeah, and I'll give you some general feedback from business. The initial concern was this is more... I shouldn't carefully choose my words, but this is more state bureaucracy, and we're concerned it's going to slow things down, or it could cause some problems. But it sounds like that's not what we're seeing so far.
And this is an interim step. We get to that version where you sign on to the system, and we'll be through STEERS. If any of you used STEERS before, you go in there, you'll use your STEERS sign on, and you'll click on that button that says tax relief, fill out a form.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot easier.
For those who don't know that acronym, that's electronic.
Yeah, State of Texas Electronic. I wrote it down. Environmental Electronic Reporting System, which dates back to the early 90s. The first version of STEERS was on a 5 1/4-inch floppy disk, and we mailed it to you. And you typed your information in it, and you mailed it back to us. And we stuck it in the computer and uploaded your information, and the next time you need it, we mailed it back to you, and you changed your information. I mean, that's how far back STEERS goes. But the agency is trying to move all of the permitting type stuff, registration type stuff, into STEERS, so it's the same interface. You're doing the same time every time. And within the agency, we're all moving into what's known as the IDA system, which ties directly to Central Registry. So everybody here is using the same type of system. And all the information eventually talks to each other and agrees. We're just that middle step right now where we're kind of make you do more work that might seem like busy work, but it's going to prepare you for the future because you know you have to have that information.
All the information's there. I understand that electronically they're not retyping the company name of the REN, the detail of the REN or what have you. But I just, again, this is like the search. If the information's there, the filter can be put in place to regurgitate the names. Because if all you give me are RN numbers, and you've got a refinery that's got 50 different RN numbers, I can keep this stuff straight.
Right, and that's why you need the customer number too, so you can,
you need it
you
all.
Know who the, you know the overall organization, Exxon or Motiva, Jefferson County.
But Ron, it just seems to me that when y'all give us the application, it would be very easy for y'all to decipher the RN number.
Well,
to decipher the customer number.
Right. When the core data form has all that information, the company name and address and facility name and address and all that information is on the core data form.
And how...
I think what he's trying to say is when you send it to the appraisal district, if you had a... would generate a...
a cover sheet.
Cover sheet or the form itself, add back the customer information so you don't have to attach the core data sheet.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that if you had it set up, that, you know, it's just a form that would automatically print.
Right.
If we have any trouble with the, you know, your separate sheet getting separated, that would certainly be something to consider.
Yes. Most of the information's in the heading on the letter already. You know, company name, a facility address, county, application number, and then the RN and CN is there in that block on the letter. So it's there. But our application form doesn't have an RN or CN on it, which is why you have to use the application number to match them back right now.
Is the RN a unique number by itself, or does it have to have the CN number too?
No, it's a unique searchable number by itself. And the hierarchy, I always talk about customer numbers and regulated entity numbers. It's actually a regulated entity number because that's what the permit's tied to. And then you tie that to the customer so you know who the customer was too. But you actually start with the RN.
Okay.
So where you're going with this, and I'm envisioning a drop down or some bullets you could select if you want to know the CN, RN, address, amount, date. Those type of things, you could create your own report. Is that where you're going with this?
Yes.
So an appraisal district or industry person,
yes,
could create their own report.
Yes, eventually, that's okay. Where we're going. Now, okay. When it comes alive, sometime in January, what we've got now, are you going to get an application number? And you click on that, and it just says there's an application file, because we're not there yet. We have to get. We've been gathering everybody's information, applications, use determinations electronically as PDFs for the last 4 or 5 years. But we need to get to the point where that data that we've got in our database can tie back to what they've got. So if you click on that application number, it pulls up a use determination or the application. We're not there yet,
mm-hmm.
But we're working in that direction.
Maybe we should have had more foresight back in 2013, you said, when we first talked about this.
Well, you know, when we first talked to you about it, we were on the top of the priority list, and we thought this was something that was going to happen, and then the EPA made some sort of change to one of the major permitting programs, and they kicked us off the list and said all of the programmers are working on this for the next 6 months. So it's taken us till now just to get back up on the list where they've assigned somebody to help us.
So, and I get it, we don't need to suggest changes unless they're probably significant, but are we necessarily late to the game to suggest anything?
No, not as far as the electronic one. Like I said, we just scoped that one out just in the last few weeks. If you have ideas on what you think on that one or what it should reporting should come out of that, now would be a good time to start suggesting that.
Okay, is there a timeline where... maybe we're getting close to too late to give you information.
No.
Okay.
Not that I know. I said we just met with them, and they gave us the document they told us to fill out, and then said, don't worry about it. We'll be on vacation the next 3 weeks.
Okay.
So worry about it sometime in January. So sometime mid, late January, we'll have a little better feel on what the project deadlines are.
And I think... Well, I got to tell you what raised my concern when someone told me they were concerned about checking a box, a wrong box inadvertently, something happening. I know in Louisiana, for example, where the industrial tax exemptions, you can file those online. But if you happen to put a, it's easy for them to put certain contract numbers, and Wayne probably knows this, it can wind up in the wrong parish. Or it can, you can mess up the system some. So that's what I'm a little concerned about.
We're not going to change anything on a core data form and central registry of the core data just because you checked the change box without first calling you and verifying that you really wanted to make that change.
Okay.
Because anything, I said any real serious data there, if it's also somebody has a permit associated with it, they have to agree that that change can be made. I mean, there's some alternative name stuff and some other things you can do, but we're not going to make a change unless we're sure it's a legitimate change, that it's just not somebody checking the wrong box. And I know people have checked boxes on the fee that we've got because they've asked the question, which of these do I check? And I've said, check which either one. We don't. It doesn't have anything to do with us.
Okay. Huh.
So, and that's why I put together those instructions that go line by line saying this is what you should do here, is the hoping that people won't have as much of an issue with it.
Okay. Any other questions, concerns? That was a good discussion. It makes me feel better anyway.
Okay.
So, and it helps to know where you're going with it, or where you plan to go. So,
yeah, the goal is to make everything easier on everybody. And we'll have a system that if you fill out all the information, when you push send to us, it can tell you if it's admin complete or not. You don't have to wait for a letter from us, and you get an application number right then, maybe.
And I think it seems like I read somewhere, maybe I dreamed this, but by the end of next year, you plan to have, you'd like to have some electronic filing of Prop 2 applications.
A year ago, we were saying sometime next year. But now that we're just scoping it out, I don't know if it'll be a year or longer. The fact that they decided it will be a STEERS program should speed it up, because they'll be able to grab things they've already done in STEERS to build our interface, which should help. But I said they haven't actually told us how long it'll take.
Yeah, and I suppose there'll be an option on there to pay the fee by credit card.
Right. Well, and that's the great thing about using STEERS, is the electronic payment system is tied right to STEERS. So you don't, right now, to do ePay, you would have to log in the ePay system and pay it, get your receipt, and then attach your receipt to our application. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to just jump right to ePay from in STEERS within the application and pay it.
Okay.
Will that be the only option to pay?
I don't think so. I think you can still send us a check even with the large permitting programs if you don't want to use ePay. And at least for the first year or two, I'm sure we'll accept paper copies of the application form. But we'll try and move as many people into electronic as possible. And we said it should be more efficient from all around, for you and for us.
Ron, is there ever going to be a time when you're going to go back and key in all the going back to the beginning?
Up until 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when we changed to the current database, our database was a flat file. It was basically just a giant spreadsheet with 40-some columns in it and 15,600-some-odd records in it. And when we went to the database we're using now, we discovered that we weren't supposed to have a name field that said Joe Blow. We were supposed to have a name field that, you know, it's Mr. Joe, middle name, the last name. We don't have that. So the reason the current database only has recent data in it is because they couldn't figure out how to put the data up into the new database. So I don't know if we'll ever be able to actually get to that point. I mean, what I do is have two spreadsheets that I merge together with the new stuff and the old stuff, and then sort it in application number order.
So the spreadsheet that you put together now to give the historical information on Prop 2 information in a certain county,
right,
you're still going to be doing that manually from this
until point we figure out a way that they can automate it where we don't have to maintain it separately.
It's job security. It's good job security.
Well, yeah. That and not telling anybody what I do so they don't know what I do.
And I think Shelley mentioned that this will be a 3-year, you're going to have 3 years of data in there initially?
Of the migration of the current data.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's better to jump back to the search, too. So,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Charles, any comments? It's okay if you're not. Don't just want to, it's hard to jump in on the phone or no.
I was kind of curious, was the core data form going to be modified to incorporate specifically the tax relief program? I mean, right now you have to like select like the other box and then spell out what you're filing that form for. But I don't know if the tax relief program is going to become an official item on the core data form at some point in the future.
I'm sure that it will eventually. It takes them 3 or 4 years to update that form and get every program in the agency that uses that form to agree with whatever change they're making. So I don't believe they're going to be in a rush just to add a box that says tax relief on it. But eventually they update it for some other reason, I'm sure it will be added.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Any other concerns on this item?
Just one quick question.
Sure.
So with each application, you're going to have some version of a core data form. Would all of those forms submitted with the Prop 2 application be run past the central registry data entry people, or would you all make a determination, oh, this is a new customer, we need to send this one to central registry, but this is a submittal of a previous form, we're just going to hold that here?
When our new database goes live, we would be the ones that it would run through, even if it's a new form, and we would be creating the RN and the CN and doing that.
Okay.
The new database starts with central registry. We plug in that RN, and we verify that all the information on the core data form is the same that's there, and then we'll do the same with the CN. So we keep talking about central registry being separate, but we are now a subgroup of central registry for the purpose of gathering core data. It's just if you make a change, if you're Exxon Corporation and you decide that, yeah, you don't like the corporation, you're now Exxon Limited, and you want that change made globally within the agency, central registry is going to get involved in trying to determine whether or not they want to do that, which is one reason if you look at central registry and customer numbers, you'll see they usually drop the Inc. or the Limited or whatever it is because they got tired of changing from Inc. to LP to LLP to whatever the latest fashion is. And that's also why when you see, when we were asking you for a facility name, we like to see the name of the company and then what it was, you know, Exxon Baytown Refinery Unit, whatever. Central Registry, you open that up, it's probably just going to say unit whatever because they don't want to have to go back and change the name if Exxon changes their name or if they sell the unit to somebody else. So you'll see facility names a little more generic than what we currently do.
Thank you.
Sure.
So I guess what I'm hearing is the Central Registry will not necessarily include the legal entity. The name of the actual name of the company.
Oh, the facility might not contain that anymore. Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other concerns, comments? All right. I would be curious to work with you, not necessarily work with you, but track along beside you and stay informed and as this progresses. And you get closer to electronic filing. That's
we'll know by mid-February if we have a problem or not.
Hey, Charles?
No, this is Carl.
Carl, okay.
I was curious about the independently owned and operated. If you're a joint venture, but you're, you know, operating independently, I'm not sure which one to mark or which. I know there was some discussion on that.
Do you know what number of question that is on the form?
Number 13.
Number 13. Actually, if you read our instructions, we tell you to leave that unanswered, so we don't have to deal with those questions. I mean, in order to qualify under 1131, you have to own and use the equipment for pollution control, and we already asked you that question in our application. So we're going with that as the answer to that question. Yes, you own it and you're using it.
All right, thank you.
All right. Any other questions from the audience or on the phone?
So these instructions you have online, is that correct?
They'll be online after this meeting. Since they were a handout for you guys, we don't post the handouts before the meeting.
Okay.
We'll email them to you so you can discuss them. So if you came back and said, you know, we really don't like this section, you should do this instead, we can change it. And then we would post both of those online to show what changes were made.
But
it'll be out probably by this afternoon as soon as we get the recording for the meeting up. And then it'll link from the, if you ever gone back and looked at our minutes, but if there's a document handed out in the minute, there's a hyperlink to that document within the minutes. So if you're reading the minutes, you can pop the document up and look at it. And we'll move it to our portion of the webpage too, so you don't have to go to the advisory committee section to look for it. It'll fall in that same section as the application instructions and that.
Along those lines, does anyone have any concerns about these line-by-line instructions that he has before it goes online? Do we need to, I suppose, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I suppose another option is if we need a day or two, we can kind of, I'd be glad to gather your comments back and then forward them to Ron. I don't know if a couple of days would make a big difference.
This is the third version of those, and I've changed it as people have made comments on what they thought worked or didn't work. Plus, the first version was using the Longcore Data Forum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I don't hear any concerns.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Ron. All right, we'll go to item 5, any old business?
Yeah, I have one informational request. If I remember correctly, the TCEQ was sued about the Hirsig outcome. And I was just wondering if they could tell us where that stood.
Good morning, this is Don Redmond with the TCEQ. I don't think there have been any court decisions since your last meeting when I provided an update, but just to give you the current status, the Hirsig appeals were grouped in two different categories. There was a Tier 3 group of two litigants and a Tier 4 group, I think, of 11 litigants, and those have been tried separately. The Tier 3 applications were on an earlier track. They went to a trial court over a year ago. The TCEQ's decision was upheld. The litigants appealed, and that appeal was transferred to the El Paso Court of Appeals. Those have all been briefed, but the court has not made a decision on those appeals. The Tier 4 group was a later group. The trial court upheld the TCEQ's decision this summer, and those litigants have now appealed. Those appeals will stay in the Austin Court of Appeals. There's been a briefing schedule set, but those Tier 4 groups have not been briefed yet at the Court of Appeals.
Thank you.
All right. Any other old business?
When do we bring up new Berry-related and extraneous business?
Next item. New business. So I think we're ready to get there.
So I just thought I'd take a moment. like most of y'all, I do a lot of driving around the state. And I like to listen to various podcasts.
Uh-huh.
And I was listening to one recently. It's actually a very interesting. It's called Intelligence Squared. And it's Oxford-style debating on America's shores is what they call it. And they had a debate on some federal regulations. And whose voice do I hear as the expert, but our own Mike Nassy, who had been recruited by NPR and Intelligence Squared to represent a side in that debate. And I just thought, you know, Mike, that really is a significant achievement. Because those are smart. If you listen to these shows, there's nothing but smart people on that stage.
They have to waive their requirements.
There's nothing but smart people on that stage discussing various issues of the day. And I just wanted to congratulate you and recognize you as that's a fairly significant achievement in my book.
Well, thanks, man.
So it's a podcast? Maybe I could find it.
You can find it. You can definitely find it.
You can watch it online.
All right.
Here's the punchline. We lost. It was a very interesting debate. The idea, just quickly, was the two members of the Obama administration first term were squared off against each other. One was the Assistant Secretary of Energy. The other was the White House counsel. Since then, one has gone to head the Rice Energy Institute, and one has gone to be the head of environmental law at Harvard. And they need partners. So the DOE guy got me, and the lawyer, the Harvard law professor, got the head of the Sierra Club, Cyrus's boss's boss. that had recently retired, so he was no longer with Sierra Club, but Carl Pope, so he was pretty well known. It was a fantastic debate. I'll tell you war stories later about how the backroom scenes. But interesting that you bring it up, because in the argument, Carl Pope, one of his arguments in the debate, brought up the Sandy Creek property tax dispute. The lack of dispatch and lack of income had become the subject of a litigation on property tax. So you get no idea just how pertinent your comment was. I appreciate it as a compliment, but it was actually very interesting that he brought that up, because their premise was that EPA wasn't closing coal plants down, the market was.
Do you have your mic on, by the way?
Yeah, well, Mike, it is meant sincerely as a compliment.
Oh, thank you.
I think that show does a great job recruiting really bright people to come and have a pretty high-level discussion, right? Yeah. And so I consider it a big compliment. It was a great accomplishment for you.
Great, thanks. I think I was the only lawyer involved in the litigation against the Clean Power Plan that actually spoke English and common usage. We all spoke English, just not in common usage. So anyway, thank you.
Thanks. All right, one item I want to bring up, just a question, and I've been asking around and I've observed, and that is upcoming legislation. Anything we want to talk about there? Or anything pending? And I'm not talking about rumors. I'm just... Okay. All right. I don't think anything's out there.
Well, on another subject, I was wondering if the rest of you thought it might be good to amend our bylaws and make our meetings twice a year, unless we have a lot to talk about.
If we could say, I did have a question. You mentioned legislation, not to start rumors, but...
We'll come back to that, Wayne.
Since you brought it up, have we seen anything on the reapplying? Have we seen that's going to try to be introduced, as Ron know? Reapplying for application, you know how they did that a couple years ago? Nothing? Thank you.
All right, back to the point that Wayne mentioned about twice a year meetings. I think we have a good option. This is just me personally. I'm just one member. I think we have a good option to have conference calls if we need to. And also the bylaws, it's relatively strict that if you miss more than two in a row or something about attendance, that you're automatically off the committee. Now, if we need to revise that, we might want to consider that. I do know that, for example, Greg and Cyrus are not with us today. I will make extra effort to try to make sure they're on the next one, so they don't run into problems with that.
But if you call in, you're in attendance,
right,
correct?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we've done that before, where maybe we're not agenda heavy, and everybody calls in. So, you know, at that case, you're probably only committing 30 minutes if in those particular cases. I don't see an issue with it.
Any other concerns, comments? Wayne, appreciate you mentioning that. Not hearing a lot of other comments in that direction, but okay. Don't mind revisiting something.
Well, if I look back over the 6 years this group has been meeting, we've had periods of a lot of work. We've had now some slower periods. I personally think that using that call-in option is good. I'm a little hesitant to get too involved in this debate because I live in Austin. I don't have to drive here. I'm not like some of you that are having to come from far away, so this isn't a burden for me like it is for others. But I think one of the things that we need to do is make sure that our ear is to the ground when something is happening. And I would, you know, I would like for there to be a forum for us to find out that something is going on. And every 6 months I worry about that.
I think the options we have in place now, I think we need to continue the once a quarter. If you can't make it, call in. Last time we all called in, that's what you called it. It works fine.
Whatever the frequency, I don't want us to be perceived by the commissioners or legislature, for that matter, that we're just kind of checking the box. I think we do need to generally consider the matters for this within the scope of the committee.
Yeah, and even though we don't tend to get a lot of questions from the audience or a phone, but it does give them an opportunity at least four times a year if somebody has some concerns to call in or ask questions, and I think that's also important to give others that opportunity.
Okay. Any other comments on this item, or any other new business for that matter? All right, looks like we have reached the end. One more question. That's why I put it on the agenda, because I want to make sure we give the audience one last chance to express any comments, concerns. All right. Hearing none, do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right, we have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
Aye.
Motion is adjourned. Thank you.